Brothers and sisters in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning from the book of Matthew, again chapter 13, beginning with the 44th verse. Some more parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. In his joy, he goes away and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. When he found one very valuable pearl, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When the net was filled, they pulled it onto the shore. They sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw the bad ones away. That is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous who are among them, and they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Did you understand all these things?" They answered him, "Yes." He said to them, "Therefore, every expert in the law who has been trained as a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out his treasure both new things and old things." It's the gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, a dozen years ago, a man named Forrest Fenn, an 80-year-old man, decided to bury a fancy treasure chest somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. And he put out the word, and over the course of time, hundreds of thousands of people began to search the Rocky Mountains for this treasure. People became friends because they realized, oh, you're looking for the treasure too? People got married because they met on the treasure hunt, and this was their common thing, and now they're together for the rest of their lives. Four people died in the hunt for the treasure of Forrest Fenn, even though he said, "I didn't put it anywhere that an 80-year-old couldn't get to." The Rockies can be treacherous. Well, not 2 months ago, someone found the treasure of Forrest Fenn and the $2 million worth of precious gemstones and gold nuggets and old artifacts that were inside. No one knows who. The person doesn't want his or her name released to the public, but Forrest Fenn said, it's been discovered. The reason he buried the treasure was because of the 2008-2009 housing crisis. He thought it would inject a little bit of hope into the world, and no one found it at that time. But I think 2020 might be a good year. The last couple months here might be a nice time to find a hidden treasure. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't buried treasure, finding hidden treasure, give you a little bit of a thrill and a thrilling feeling? If your neighbor found buried treasure in their backyard and it was something pretty valuable, don't you think you might go out with a metal detector and maybe a shovel and start to look yourself? Because, by the way, that yard with hidden treasure is right next door. I think it would be very exciting. I think it would be fun. They say anticipation is half the fun, but I also think finding a buried treasure would just be incredibly thrilling. And for that reason, I don't think it's any wonder that Jesus presents to us the kingdom of heaven just like a hidden treasure and a precious pearl. And just to complete kind of like a pirate adventure, he throws in a watery parable too. He talks about a dragnet catching in every kind of fish. So I hope it's not going too far to suggest that you and I are invited on this epic adventure in search for hidden treasure, just like the pirates of old. Except we're not out to stab anybody or hook them like Peter Pan or something. We're out to find that buried treasure. We're out to search for it. And we're out to find what Jesus has to give to us as Jesus sets our hearts on hidden treasure. So let's take a look at those two parables in the beginning, and let's consider those. First of all, what is Jesus comparing a hidden treasure to? Well, he says, the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so what is it like? It's like a man who happens to be, I don't know, maybe we don't get a whole lot of details. It's only a couple verses. He's out on a walk, maybe, and he sees the corner of a wooden box sticking out. And he starts to dig a little bit, and soon he's moving soil around and opens it up and finds inside something so valuable that it knocks his socks off. And he realizes, well, I don't think anyone else thinks this is here, and he covers it up. Then he goes, and you can envision this, right? He kind of almost can't contain his excitement. He's trying to hide his poker face. He's going to buy this land for what it's worth, not for what the treasure is worth. But when he gets the deed, he's got the treasure. It belongs to him. How exciting. How thrilling. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like that. Is it like that for you? Next verse, he talks about a merchant, someone who's in the buying and trading of fine pearls. Doesn't always know what he's looking for, but he knows it's pearls. Some are small. Most are small. He gets a pearl of wisdom here, a pearl of wisdom there. That's a lot like life. We hear some wise sayings outside of the storehouses of Scripture. We hear some good things, some good advice, some tips, some life hacks. But then, man, compare those other things to the treasure of the most precious pearl you could ever find. I imagine it's kind of like this really big thing. And he doesn't waste any time. He goes and sells everything he has. This is what he lives for. He lives for pearls. And he found the pearl of pearls. And now it's his. And that's the end of the parable. You and I might wonder, okay, treasure and pearls. Jesus isn't usually telling us to go and look for gold and silver and gemstones. We know the apostles said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we'll give you. So what exactly is the treasure that Jesus has in store for you and for me? Well, if we go to the Proverbs, I mean, we learned a little bit about Solomon in his early reign. He asked for the right thing. And we see that reflected in the book of Proverbs, too. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Or think of Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 6. It says, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Who knows that better than King Solomon and all of his wisdom, which actually developed into riches and pleasure and all kinds of things, all kinds of work projects to fulfill his life. We find out later that Solomon abused those things and treated them as idols just because he forgot the Creator and set his heart on the creation. But Jesus is telling us here to set our hearts not on the creation, but on the Creator, the God who gives us every good thing, namely wisdom. Job speaks about this wisdom too in his chapter 28, verse 17. He says, neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Now you might say, well, there are all kinds of pearls of wisdom out there. What exactly are we talking about? Can we be a little bit clearer about what kind of wisdom, what kind of knowledge or discerning God speaks to us? Well, like usual, the New Testament helps us understand the Old. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and guess what we find out about the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God has a name. The wisdom of God is a person. True God and true man. His name is Jesus Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 1 tells us. He's called the wisdom of God. And as we grow to know God better, more and more we learn to understand the love and the greatness of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's right. All the treasures that we could possibly find in Jesus Christ are worth it. They're valuable. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ we see the true heart of God and what He would do for the sake of you and for me. He's also our brother. He suffered and died for us. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're not talking about a place anymore. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about an activity. The activity of God in Jesus Christ was to follow the plan for our salvation, to live perfectly, to die innocently, and that He did for us. And that activity of God's kingdom continues in the hearts of believers everywhere when we hear a message of God's word, when we're filled with His sacraments, when we ponder over our adoption as sons and daughters through baptism. That's Jesus Christ living and ruling in our hearts. Singing isn't a place. Ruling isn't a place. Teaching isn't a place, but it is all the kingdom of God when done by faith alone in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the treasures of this kingdom include knowing the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Does that ring any bells? St. Paul writes that to Timothy in his second epistle to Timothy. And he doesn't put an age limit on it. Remember how early he says Timothy has been learning these things? From infancy. So we have a Sunday school, brothers and sisters. We have an incredibly organized program. We have people answering the call beautifully to serve in this way. We have a glorious expression of this church, this visible church, Bethlehem, to share all the pearls of truth and the treasure of Jesus Christ for our children. Not every church gets this. Not everyone's church is this organized and structured. Even in coronavirus, we've got a plan. And we're equipping parents. And parents, it's your job. I'm not sure how often you think about whose child your children are. If you think about it hard enough, you realize our children are on loan from God. And we have a responsibility to share with them these treasures, not of gold and silver and pearls, but these treasures of God's kingdom. Solomon also says, "By wisdom a house is built, a house, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." And as we share word and sacrament and hang our every hearts on it by faith, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is within you." So I ask you, do you value the treasure that Jesus has in store for you? Or do you hold something else precious to your heart? I think it's time that I share with you a little bit of the piracy of a sinful life. The fact that there are precious sins that, believe it or not, there are times we really don't want God to forgive. We like to bury them deep in our hearts where others can't detect those sins, but they still reside alive and well. Sins like jealousy, sins like anger and frustration, maybe at another person at church, or a friend in your Sunday school class, when you get upset for no good reason, just because you want it your way and it didn't work out that way. Maybe you gossip and bury that personal sinful treasure from the person you're discussing. And you're hiding something so precious to you that would tarnish someone else's name. Brothers and sisters, this is what law and gospel do. The law tears into our hearts, and it hurts, but it's an important surgery when we hear God's word, when it's something we don't want to agree with, but because of that law, God surfaces that sin within our hearts so that we can answer the gospel call. He sends His Holy Spirit into our heart, that we can trust in Jesus Christ, who will bury that sinful treasure at the depths of the sea so that it can never be discovered. So we can cast it into the wind and it blows off as far as the east is from the west. It takes God's heart to dig, God's law to dig that sin out of our hearts. But it takes God's gospel to make us richer than kings and queens. That's what Christian education is all about. Hearts of wisdom, treasures of God's kingdom. And guess what marks the spot? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. In every instance, we've got this great long-range plan for every age level. We're investing in our Christian education. We're sharing the truths of God's Word. Week after week, Sunday school lessons will be shared in the home, electronically, depending on what your class is doing. Week after week, adult Bible study will meet, and those classes will be zoomed out. And every time, God will give us law, and God will give us gospel. And Christ's cross marks the spot of His treasure. Because in every message of God's gospel, He gives us His heart. He gives us the reason why we get these treasures. It's grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. It's free. It costs nothing for you and for me. We know where it is. We know how to find it. It may be difficult, but we have to put away the things of this life if we're really going to truly understand it. And yet, it's so simple, isn't it? It's by faith alone, not by works, so that no one can boast. Christ's cross marks the spot. And one day, this treasure gives us heaven. And by faith alone in Jesus Christ, that glory can never be stolen or hidden away from us. As of yesterday, there's a new treasure hunt out there in the world. 10 treasure chests filled with $1 million each in 10 participating states of the Union. And you can buy a treasure map for $49.99 as of yesterday. It's called the Blackbeard Treasure Hunt. And when I read that, I got a little bit excited. I thought, well, $49.99 is not too bad. Maybe we could take a trip. Indiana isn't participating, but there's an Illinois treasure chest, an Ohio treasure chest, one in Michigan. We could maybe do a youth group adventure. I don't know. But that's nothing compared to the thrill of the treasure that God has in store for us. That's nothing compared to the epic adventure that Jesus Christ has won for us at the cross. It's nothing compared to God's eternal treasure. In Jesus' name, amen.